This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawera Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Otipoti, Dunedin, and possibly for the final time, I'm joined from Otutahi, Christchurch, by Mawera Karatai. Now, actually, I think we've got some more during the week, haven't we? And you'll still be there.
I was just going to say, we've got days of them yet. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. Let's go straight to who are we introducing today?
It is my great pleasure to introduce another one of our incredible students, Christian Bonev. Welcome, Christian. It is so wonderful to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
Welcome, Christian. Where did you grow up, Christian?
I grew up in Germany. My parents are originally from Bulgaria, but yeah, I was born in Munich, that's in south of Germany, and that's where I've been living most of my life at.
What was it like growing up there?
I'd say it was pretty good. Like, I have great memories of my childhood, and like overall, I mean, I grew up in the suburbs of Munich, so I'm used to like being in the mountains, going to the lake, just being in nature. And yeah, that's been pretty nice.
An awesome museum, I seem to remember.
Sorry?
An awesome museum in Munich.
Oh, yes. Wait, have you been to Munich before?
I have indeed.
Yeah? Which museum did you go to?
Oh, I don't know. It was a big brick place. Had lots of old things in it. Had an amazing history of computing section. Was incredible. I can't remember what it was
called.
Oh,
maybe you went to the German Museum. It's like a big museum where we show like everything the Germans have ever invented.
Indeed. That was it.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, that's actually my favorite museum. Like growing up, I used to go there a lot. It's very nice. They have like one area where they kind of like show you how mining works and you could go into a mine. That was pretty interesting.
And a brick machine. I've got the brick somewhere. That produces little tiny bricks, but actually goes through and does the whole process like it's making a brick.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
That's a very good question. I think the very first thing I remember, or like the first thing that comes to my mind, is actually being a policeman. I don't know. It always fascinated me, like them wearing their uniform and just making sure that everyone's feeling okay and that like everyone follows the rules and just, yeah, that we all can live together the way we do. So I think that was like one of the first things I wanted to be.
But that's not where you ended up.
No, not really. So, right now I'm actually doing my master's in business communication in Vienna at the University of Economics and Business. As you probably know, I'm doing my semester abroad right now here at the University of Otago. And before that, in my bachelor's, I was doing digital marketing and social media. So I did go into a bit of a different direction. And I would say I mainly focus on like brand strategy, on communication, on intercultural relationships and like how people live together, communicate with each other, and how like companies can also make use of that, and how companies can also try to do something good for the society as well.
We'll come back to that perhaps after your mm-hmm. your podcast, because I've got some questions about that.
Yeah.
So you're doing, while you're here, you're doing a course in sustainable practice.
Yes.
What appealed about that one?
So, like, overall, I try to take a lot of, like, courses while I'm here that, like, talk about the topics of sustainability and how, like, the economy. So, like, for me, maybe to look at it from, like, a bigger picture, for me, the ideal situation would be that growth in terms of, like, numbers and the economy should go hand in hand with sustainability. And I think in our society, we should focus less on one thing or the other, because I feel like a lot of times we talk about, oh, we need to grow our economy, but that means we can do less for sustainability. And I feel like we have to rethink that. And I feel like the courses I've been taking here kind of showed me how we can rethink a lot of things we think that are just, I mean, they've always been like that, so we just have to accept them. And I feel like the courses I've been taking here, they're kind of like trying to like put things into like a new perspective. And I really like them.
Do you think it would be useful to have those insights earlier in your educational career? I mean, it's too late for you now, but what would you have put into those earlier courses?
Yeah, so I definitely think there should be a bigger topic from an early age. And like, just so like back home, the philosophy of like our schools, I don't know, maybe it's the same here, but their goal is to teach us how to use our brain. That's what they always say. They want to teach us on like how to think with our own brain. And this being said, I do think that they should have talked more about sustainability also, because we did talk about sustainability and economy, etc., in separate topics, but we never like really put sustainability into the bigger picture. It was always its own topic, its own area, and like we never really try to like see it from like a perspective from like the society combined. And I think that's a bit of an issue, and it doesn't really go along with what they usually try to teach us, which is again to like use our brain and to come up with very interesting ideas.
Let's take the first of your music choices.
Amazing.
It's Queen, Don't Stop Me Now. Why this one? Other than the obvious, that it's awesome.
Yeah. That's actually the song I picked for my graduation after high school. And I don't know, it just reminds me of a good time. And it just reminds me of, yeah, I don't know, just keep going. And yeah, it's a good song. Tonight I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
Don't stop me, hey, hey, hey! Don't stop me, don't stop me, ooh, ooh, ooh! supersonic man out of you. Stop me now.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Christian, I have observed in the classroom that you are the guy who just builds instant amazing relationships with people. Everybody likes being around you, and it's not everybody has that. It is an unusual thing to see. And so you must have had some pretty great role models in your life. Who were your role models and what did they teach you?
So first of all, thank you so much. That's honestly an incredible compliment. I really appreciate that. When it comes to role models, I think the first thing that comes to my mind are actually my parents. It might sound a bit cheesy, but like both in their own way, they like, I think they're amazing human beings. And also like the way they interact with other people just has always fascinated me. So for example, my mother, she speaks, I think, 6 or 7 languages. So this is something I really, really like. I think it's fascinating, to be honest. And that just kind of shows also like she just loves talking to people, she loves to interact with different cultures. So I feel like that's something I've always had in me as well, and that's something I've always been taught. And then when it comes to like a business perspective or like on like how to like represent yourself, etc., this is something I've learned from my father. He just really knows how to like stand for your position, on like how to like make sure your voice is heard. And yeah, I think that's very fascinating. So both of them hand in hand, I think, yeah, it sounds very cheesy, but made me the person I am today.
Well, my observation through doing these podcasts is that almost every one of our students has credited their parents with being amazing role models.
Yeah.
Almost 100% of you. It's actually blown me away. It's so cool. And and I think there's going to be a lot of pretty happy and proud parents listening to podcasts over the next few months.
Yes.
So thinking about when you, as you get ready to move into your professional life, you're out of school and you're in your professional life, obviously in a leadership role, that's inevitable. So are you going to be a role model for others? And if so, what are you going to model for them?
That's a very good question. So first of all, I think everyone in their own way is some sort of a role model. And I think it's more about what kind of role model do I want to be and what do I want to focus on? I think something that is very important to me is equality when it comes to, honestly, whatever aspect. I think it's so important that everyone has the same opportunities, that everyone can achieve whatever they want to achieve. And I think this is something very important. And also to just always think out of the box, to always like try and just, I don't know, you think of something, try it out. It's either going to work out or it isn't, but you've tried it out and then, you know, you've learned something. I feel like this is very important. Yeah.
I agree. That is so important. And I've said to all of my children, say yes to every opportunity, because you just don't know what's going to be that one thing. And I've really noticed it with my youngest son, Jack, who didn't want to go mountain biking. I'm never going to go mountain biking. The first time he went mountain biking, it transformed his life.
Yeah.
Something amazing. So simple. Yeah. Always say yes to everything, I think. Except for drugs. No drugs.
Yes,
yes to everything else.
That's true. But yeah, you never know what's going to come out of it. So
you don't. You don't until you give things a go. And yeah, that's exactly right. Now, speaking of leaders, you have interviewed somebody for your podcast, so will you tell us about the person you interviewed and why you chose them?
Yes, so I chose Lawrence. He has actually dedicated his career to like not really rethinking, but like putting also another very important aspect of sustainability on the table, which is sustainability not only focusing on environmental issues. I'm not saying that's not important, it totally is, but it's also like to give it like a bit of a more holistic view. It also includes how people are treated and supported at work, and how mental health is also a very important topic when it comes to sustainability.
Welcome to today's episode of Blowing Bubbles. My name is Christian Bonif, and I want to start with a question. How's your work life treating you these days? If you're feeling stressed, stretched, or maybe even burned out, you're not alone. Across Europe and the world, millions of people are reporting rising levels of stress, anxiety, and depression connected to work. And these aren't just personal problems, they're business problems. And they're sustainability problems too. Today, we're going to explore a powerful but sometimes overlooked aspect of sustainable business, mental health in the workplace. We'll look at what the research says about the link between job quality and mental well-being, how this is playing out in real life for workers right now, and what leaders can do to build healthier, more sustainable organizations. And to bring this to life, I want to sit down with Lawrence, who has spent his career helping organizations rethink how they approach sustainability and people. He'll share his personal journey and some really practical insights on how businesses can get this right. So grab a coffee or take us along on your walk. We're diving into sustainable work, mental health, and why the future of business depends on both. This being said, hello, Lawrence. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Christian. Thanks for having me.
Let's just get right into it. And maybe you can just quickly introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. My name is Lawrence, and I work for a startup in the energy space called Piadeno, or Pia for short. I first joined them as an intern before joining them permanently. Before I left, I was the second longest serving employee and watched the company grow from 4 to now around 15 people. Now my work, unlike the rest of the team, wasn't grounded in code or complex equations, but rather in internal development, where I ensured that the way we communicated and the processes were coherent to ensure more joyful and efficient work.
Okay, that already sounds pretty interesting. Before we get right into it, because I'm very curious to hear what insights you actually have for me, I want to start with like a little warm up. It's a bit of a random question, so don't be confused. But what or where is your happy place?
I would say my happy place is definitely being out in nature, especially walking in the mountains. For me, it's a reminder of balance, how everything in nature works in cycles and supports each other. It always grounds me, and I try to bring the same idea of balance into my professional work.
Okay, I like that answer. I'm actually close to Munich. That's where I grew up. So there we have a lot of mountains too, and I really like the mountains as well. So very good answer. Okay, so can you maybe tell us a little bit more about your journey? How did you get, I know it's a very broad question, but how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, fairly broad. Well, I guess my journey into promoting health, wellness, and sustainable systems comes from a foundation in both theory and practice. Mm-hmm. I'm currently doing my bachelor's degree in business and economics with specializations in strategy and organization, as well as business psychology at the Vienna University of Business. Mm-hmm. This comes along with a background in an international school in Canada and a technical high school in Carinthia, my home state. Which just sort of forms my academic base. Then professionally, I've worked in very diverse settings, from 2 summer internships in mechanical or machine manufacturing companies, as well as 2 different startups, and even a 6-month stint in the Austrian army.
Oh, wow.
And all of these very, all of these very diverse work environments, along with a fundamental curiosity, have, I guess, shaped my approach to mental health in the workspace. And more precisely than just like bridging practical, playful, and sustainable health habits into everyday life, whether through personalized coaching or group workshops. My goal is to help people integrate balanced movement, nutrition, and relaxation into their routines in ways that are motivating, enjoyable, and deeply aligned with their real lives.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool. I'm actually curious, where in Canada did you I think you said you went to school there. Where was that?
Yeah, that's right. I spent 3 years in Vancouver with my family when I was a bit younger and got the chance to interact with a lot of different nationalities in an international school there.
That sounds pretty good. Okay, so I can tell you have experienced a lot of things in a lot of countries. So maybe you can also tell me a little bit more about maybe a specific moment or just generally things in your life that have led to your views on sustainability, and how have your views changed since that specific moment or since that specific period of time?
I think besides the classical views on sustainability regarding the environment and technology, I think a turning point for mental health was when I first started working for PETA. The founder and others were working in a very fa and very fast-paced roles and pressured themselves to achieve milestones in impossible time frames. I saw so talented people burning out fast, including myself at times. That was the moment when I understood sustainability can't just mean green policies. It has to mean creating systems that allow people to thrive. Since then, my views have broadened. Sustainability for me now is holistic. It's environmental, social, and personal.
I totally do, agree with that. That's actually pretty interesting. So, from your experience, what are the biggest challenges you would say that businesses face in supporting employees' mental health today?
I think one big challenge is that mental health still carries stigma. Leaders may recognize its importance, but they don't always feel comfortable talking about it openly. Another is the mismatch between words and actions. Companies might have policies in place, but if the workload and culture don't change, employees won't feel supported. And of course, economic pressures make it tempting for businesses to treat people at cost rather than assets.
Totally agree. To understand why this issue actually matters so much, I want to quickly give you a piece of research that really stuck with me to you and the audience. I think it might be very interesting. It's actually called Employment Quality and Mental Health in Germany, and it focuses on the mismatch of low employment quality with work and family values by gender. So I know that's a mouthful. It sounds like a lot, but it's very interesting. And here what it practically means in practice. So the researcher followed workers over time to see how the type of jobs they had impacted their mental health. And the two main things they found were actually pretty interesting. So for men, precarious jobs, things like temporary contracts or insecure work, were linked to long-term declines in mental health. And for women, the story was different, but equally important, obviously. Women who were locked into full-time jobs that didn't align with their family responsibilities also saw worse mental health outcomes over time. So the key takeaway is that it's not just whether you have a job that matters, it's the quality of that job and whether it fits with your values and your life. And this actually also brings me to my next question, which I have for you, Lawrence. The research I just talked about shows that precarious work and job insecurity can negatively impact mental health, especially when work doesn't align with the personal values. So, how do you see this play out in the business you work for?
Well, thanks first for that. That was very interesting and insightful. And yes, I see it all the time. When people feel like their job could disappear tomorrow, which is not uncommon in the startup space, or they are not valued, their stress levels rise dramatically. In other companies, I've heard about employees avoiding taking vacations or working when sick because they're afraid of losing their position, which is drastic. That kind of insecurity eats away at both mental health and trust in the organization. Business that provides stability, even in small ways, tend to have healthier and more engaged teams, which are better to work with.
You actually already bring me to my next point, which I wanted to make. And this is the last time I'm going to be talking for a bit more. But this is actually another thing,
Go for it.
because obviously research is super important, but I also want to link this to the real world, as I like to call it, and to things that are actually happening today. And I recently read an article which was published in 2025 in March of this year by Euronews, which reported the results of a major study on workplace mental health across Europe. And there's actually three main points which I wanna talk with you about. So first of all, one in three workers reported experiencing at least one mental health condition, with anxiety and depression being on top of that list. Second of all, more than half of them said that they'd felt above average stress in just the past 2 weeks. I'm talking about 2 weeks, not months, not years, but 2 weeks. And thirdly, that mental health related sick leaves is climbing fast. So 27% of all sick days in 2024 were due to mental health, and this went up from 23% the year before. And for example, in countries like France, mental health has actually now overtaken all other causes as the leading reason for long-term sick leave, which is very interesting and also very honestly concerning in my opinion. So what we're seeing is a huge mismatch between what employees need and what workers are offering. And this mismatch is costing not only in terms of human suffering, but also in productivity, engagement, and ultimately business sustainability. So why do you think these issues are escalating? Do you have any idea where this could be coming from?
Well, yes, I see a few reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, technology has blurred the lines between work and personal life, especially if you work remote like I did for a few months. We're just always on, and that's exhausting. Second, global crises, climate change, political instability, economic uncertainty, Trump, all add a background level of stress. And for younger people especially, the pressure of social media and financial insecurity makes it even harder to, yeah. So businesses are dealing not just with workplace stress, but with a broader social environment that affects employees every day.
I totally agree. And what would you say? What role does leadership play in creating sustainable and also healthier workplaces?
Leadership is absolutely key. Leaders are the clear role models for companies and employees. Watch what leaders do, not just what they say. If leaders never take time off, employees won't feel safe doing it either. If leaders only value output, people will hide their struggles. On the other hand, leaders who model balance, who openly talk about well-being, and who listen to their team create a culture where sustainability and mental health can thrive.
So, can you maybe share an example of a business? It can either be your own or a company you've seen that has successfully supported employee well-being in a sustainable way.
Yeah, definitely. I was there at PIA when introduced flexible working, not just as a policy, but as a cultural norm. Before, there were never any formal expectations to deliver daily results or to stay longer, but a lot of people did because their boss worked tirelessly. So after some self-reflection, the founder found someone that helped him relieve a lot of his immense workload. And then encouraged everyone to block time for personal commitments, family, exercise, and volunteering. Over time, employees reported lower stress, higher engagement, and even better performance. The key was that the leadership fully embraced change, so it wasn't just words on paper or commands to your subordinates.
That does, in fact, sound like a very successful thing which has happened. Can you maybe also think of some common mistakes that companies are actually making when trying to address workplace mental health?
Well, one common mistake is treating mental health as a one-off initiative, like running one mindfulness workshop and thinking the problem is solved is not going to do the trick. Another is focusing only on perks, like free yoga classes, while ignoring toxic workloads or unclear expectations. Mental health strategies have to be systematic and not just superficial.
Yeah, this is actually so true. Okay, I only have like two or three more questions to go. Thank you so much already for all the input you gave me. If you could give one piece of advice to business leaders about creating sustainable, mentally healthy workplaces, what would it be?
Well, that's a good question. And I think I would say, listen, just really listen to your employees. Too often, leaders make assumptions about what people need, thinking they want to be treated similarly to them, while instead they should focus more on treating them how they want to be treated instead. But in order to do this, you have to create a safe space for honest feedback and then act on it to build trust. And trust is the foundation for both well-being and long-term business success, I would say.
And maybe what is one thing or like one simple thing everyday people can do to live more sustainably and support their own mental health?
Boundaries? Probably I'd say set boundaries. It sounds simple, but give yourself permission to switch off, to rest, and to prioritize things that recharge you. This is just both sustainable and healthy. When we take care of ourselves, we're more capable of contributing positively to our communities and workspace.
This is so true. I'm actually gonna try and implement that for myself as well.
Yeah,
And
you should.
yeah, and this already brings me to my very last question. Looking ahead, are you optimistic about the future of sustainable business and workplace well-being, or are you a little bit more critical? So, why do you think, or why not? Yeah.
There's obviously reasons to go both way, but generally I would say yes, I'm optimistic. The challenges are real, but I see a shift happening. Younger generations especially are demanding workplaces that care about well-being and sustainability. Companies that ignore this will struggle to attract talent. So in a way, the pressure is building in the right direction. We're at the beginning of transformation where businesses' success is will increasingly be defined not just by profit, but by young people and purpose. Yeah.
This actually gets me very excited for the future. Yeah, very interesting view on that. And this being said, thank you so much for joining me for this episode today. Yeah, thank you for being here and taking your time to be part of this, yeah, quick interview. Okay, so today we explored how precarious work and job mismatches can erode mental health, how stress and burnout are reshaping workplaces across Europe, and how people like Lawrence are helping businesses take a more sustainable and people-centered approach. And remember, sustainability starts with the people. So if you're a leader, listen and act with empathy. And if you're an individual, don't be afraid to set boundaries and prioritize your well-being. This being said, until next time, I'm Christian Bonner, and this was Blowing Bubbles. Thank you for listening.
Christian, that was really interesting. Mental health and well-being topics really dear to my heart. What was your greatest takeaway from the interview?
That's a very good question. I would say, first of all, the aspect I've already mentioned, which is sustainability isn't just about environment, it's so much more. And also that mental health, I want to stress it one more time, is a sustainability issues because like burnout, stress, and turnover is like very underestimated in my opinion. And the impact it can have on long-term business success is also very important. And also, I feel like in our society, this is definitely sh is something we should put more light on. So yeah, I do hope that at least someone out there gets at least like a little bit inspired by the podcasts I made.
When I think about sustainability, I think about the why. The why is that if we don't act, start acting more sustainably, then we will have even more environmental catastrophes, really.
Yeah.
Comes down to, and that means that in our coastal communities that are already at so much risk, life will only get worse for them. And we have so many young people with serious climate anxiety already. That all comes back to the fact that we haven't been sustainable.
Yes.
What would your message to those young people be?
Again, do it. If you're sad about it, if you're scared about it, try to act. Like back home, we have a huge culture of going to the streets, raising your voice, and standing for what you really mean. Like I don't know if you guys have heard of the movement Fridays for Future, but this is a very good example of how you can become active and how one voice can make millions of people heard and can activate millions and millions and millions of people, and how together, by just starting whatever it is you stand for, you can actually do great stuff. So yeah, just get out there and be active.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. We have just seen exactly that happen with the elections this last weekend, where about half of the country have finally got Māori wards entrenched into their systems, and that's because of that being active. And yeah, I totally agree with that. You mentioned a movement in your home country. What was that?
Fridays for Future.
What is that?
It's something which Greta Thunberg, she has started it. She's a young girl, she's in her 20s, from Sweden. And she actually started protesting every Friday in front of the Swedish parliament.
Wow.
For climate justice. And it actually became a huge movement around Europe and also, I think, like across the globe. And even in Germany, I remember, like, I think it was in 2019 or something when the movement started. We had a day, because, like, in all of the cities all around Germany and Europe, people were protesting. And in Germany alone, we had millions of people on the street that actively were fighting for climate justice. And then also, like, close to that, we had elections for the European Parliament. And you could see that the Green Party, which obviously stands for a lot of sustainability topics, they could actually get way more percentages of the election result. And so it really shows what impact people have when they go out and raise their voice.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with Christian Bournoff. Christian, you're talking about how in your education is about teaching you how to use our own brain.
Mm-hmm.
How might we... So maybe this is going to be a challenge for our brains. How might we turn the marketing knowledge that's now stuffed into your brain, how might we turn that to marketing ideas that are quite challenging to business? And I'm thinking of things like degrowth.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So first of all, the way I look at marketing, in my opinion, it's actually about the power of educating people. Marketing is, for me, in my eyes, it's about learning how you can use language, how you can use visuals, how you can communicate to other people to influence them. And you can either influence them in a way where you're going to sell them the hundredth thing they don't need, which is going to destroy the planet, which is only going to promote capitalism, which is only going to, you know, keep us going in the cycle we know. Or we could try to rethink the entire situation, and we could try to actually educate people on topics that matter to us. We could use marketing to make sure that everything has an impact. The products we sell, the things we do, just the way we kind of, the way we think, we can just always try to do something good. And yeah, again, in my opinion, these things can and should go hand in hand. So this is also something we should try to do with marketing.
The big problem that we have is that we're consuming too much.
Mm-hmm.
And businesses have a vested interest in that, have a vested interest in, as you say, selling us stuff that we probably don't need. Is that an inherent problem with the profit motive of business? Is it a solvable problem?
I would say it is a solvable problem, and I wouldn't agree 100% on the fact that we're consuming too much. I think the ideal situation would be, of course, some people are consuming too much. Maybe we're like not really keeping touch with what we actually need, and we're just trying, like, focusing on consuming more and more. And this is also what marketing, etc., does. But at the same time, I think it should be, for us to live in a society where everyone can consume how much and whatever they want to, because what they consume is actually sustainable and still goes along with our values. As long as, like, the things we consume still go hand in hand with the values and with saving the planet, etc., I think it's okay to consume. I mean, it's okay to, like, have goals and needs and, like, you know, kind of like just be part and, like, be part of the economy the way we still are. It just needs to be a bit different, and it still needs to go hand in hand with sustainability.
What have you learnt from maybe your whole visit to New, your whole exchange to New Zealand, or maybe just Mawira and Joe's course? Mm-hmm. What's the biggest insight that you're taking away with you?
Insight when it comes to New Zealand, or like the Kiwi way of life, or
anything,
what exactly
anything
you
like?
Anything? I feel like people here are less stressed. I feel like back home, we're always trying to be super quick, super efficient, super, I don't know, we're always rushing. We're always thinking of the next thing, and we never like fully appreciate where we are right now. It's always, you have to go there and you have to do that. I'm not saying that people here are not doing this, but I feel like the way they live their life is a bit healthier, maybe even, or a bit more laid back. And I mean this in the best way possible.
Do you have a go-to definition of sustainability?
That's a good question. Putting me on the spot. I would say sustainability for me is thinking in the long term.
Sounds good to me. Let's think in the long term by having some dreams. Let's have Fleetwood Mac with Dreams. Why this one?
It's just an amazing song. There's not much more to say. It's just a really good song.
Players only love you when they're playing.
question. I have some questions to end the show.
Mm-hmm.
What is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
Honestly, I'm just very proud of putting myself out there. Even, for example, coming to New Zealand, it's scary. It's actually from Berlin, from the capital of Germany. Dunedin is the furthest civilized point from Germany, from Berlin. So it's very, very far away from back home. So even just coming here and like trying something new, meeting new people, that's something I think I can be proud of. So, yeah.
Indeed. What is your superpower?
Communication.
Do you consider yourself to be an activist?
I would say so. I think everyone is an activist. Just everyone is an activist in their own way. And that's okay.
I haven't been keeping tab, but there's not been many of your colleagues have said yes to that question.
Oh, really? Interesting. That's good to know.
It's almost as if it's a... It's swinging round and becoming a dirty word again.
Yeah, yeah.
So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Life. I think it's amazing. We all have opportunities. And of course, some people have more opportunities. Some people have less opportunities. I'm in a very privileged situation and I want to make use of it. And I also want to help people that are in a less privileged situation. So we can, honestly, day by day, we can try and make this world a better place. It sounds cheesy, but it's true.
I like what was said in your podcast, your Coming Up for Air podcast, that lots of these are positioned, lots of the problems are positioned as personal problems, but they're actually systemic with organisational responsibility.
Yeah.
And I think in sustainability, we do too much putting it onto individuals, putting the blame on individuals when it's the system. And thinking about that in terms of the impact of that on people's health and well-being is a pretty good point.
Yeah.
What's the biggest challenge or opportunity that you're looking forward to in the next year or so?
I don't really know what the future is going to bring for me. As you mentioned earlier, I'm almost done with uni. I'm starting to look for jobs. And honestly, there's so many opportunities, so many options. So I'm just very excited to see where it's going to take me.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
Just be the person you want to be. You live your life for yourself, for no one else. So just do whatever feels right for you.
Sounds good to me. I know someone that's being the person she wants to be.
Every day.
Amazing.
Christian, it has been delightful having you in our class, and I really appreciate your good humour. And the way you gather all of this little group of energy around you, it's so lovely. Thank you for choosing the University of Otago for your studies, for coming to New Zealand, for giving it a go here, and for the huge contribution you've made since you've been here. I think we're very lucky. Your podcast was beautiful. We appreciate your time today, and we wish you all the best for the future. Kia ora.
Thank you so much for these nice words, and thank you so much for having me. And yeah, it's really a lovely country here, so I'm very glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We are going out to one of the songs, one of the many songs I've discovered for Fridays for the Future. Nandi and Roman, The Children Will Rise Up.
In the beginning, there was rock!
Feed that filthy green. Stop polluting politicians.
Excellent. Your training is complete. Now go and rock the world!
Rise. Scientists all agree that the world is warming up at an alarming rate, which could lead to loss of habitats, loss of species, famine, starvation, and mass migration. Scientists also know what is causing climate change, which is the increase of carbon dioxide and methane gases, which is generated by deforestation, overfishing, burning fossil fuels, and industrial overfarming. I cannot vote, but I can raise awareness and protest for climate change. Adults, politicians, stop playing political games with our future. Stop fighting each other. Let's all come together in unity and love to tackle humanity's biggest problem before it's too late! Children, rise up! You can do anything you put your mind to. You can be a real superhero and save the world. Demand your parents to force their government to do better. Your parents have the power to make politicians do the will of the people. We need change, and we need it now. This is how I'm going to protest. How are you going to protest? Be kind, be loving, be sensible, be respectful, but be powerful. You have a voice. Use it.
You've been listening to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces, around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by the University of Otago. We are broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. Christian Bornoff brought his contribution for Coming Up for Air. He was talking about, with Lorenz, about mental health. With Mawira Karatai, I'm Samuel Mann. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Mati wā.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.